everybody, and welcome to episode 141 of the Savvy Girls Podcast. This is Melanie, and I'm podcasting to you from my bed in New York, New York. That silence is Deborah calling out from Alberta saying, I'm out of town, I can't podcast. So yes, this is a solo podcast, and I honestly have very little to talk about, so it should be interesting. There will be knitting content, though I did promise there would be. So, sit back, take your knitting sticks. That's knitting content number one. Actually, I should have a little bell. Do I have a bell? I bet I could find a bell sound. All right, we're going to see how many knitting contents there's going to be. There'll be a little bell. So sit back, listen for the bell, and enjoy the show. And I say, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. I hope everyone's doing well. It is now March. I was going to say it's now March here in New York, but in fact, it's now March everywhere. And that means it's spring. It hasn't felt much like spring lately. New York's been dumped on a few times with snow and ice and freezing rain and non-freezing rain, although I suppose that's spring-like. And I've been up in the north where it is definitely not spring weather, but it's spring. And in spring, thoughts turn to... Okay, who are we kidding? My thoughts are turning to Pinkberry. Other people's thoughts are turning to spring knitting! But I digress. I'm not digressing, actually, because I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about. But, alright, let's see. What am I going to talk about? I know, I am going to keep up the high standards of this knitting-themed podcast... by telling people a little bit about the recent gig I got. All right, so I am in bed, as I mentioned at the beginning. I am absolutely exhausted, and that is because I just got back from 4 days. I can't believe just 4 days of travel and touring and performing and, 4 days. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about my days. By the way, I've never been this tired, so it should get interesting. All right, Friday. Oh, it's Monday. Monday the 9th of March now. So Friday the 6th of March, I was supposed to fly out at 8:45 in the morning from New York, JFK, the further but not furthest airport from the apartment, the savvy base. And I was supposed to fly to Toronto, get off the plane, hop in a cab, go visit Savvy Bubs for maybe an hour, talk knitting with Savvy Bubs, get back in the cab, take another plane ride to Winnipeg, get in early enough to have a meeting with my agent, and then later to go out for drinks with a friend I have not seen, well, since I was there last summer. What actually happened was this. Deborah was also flying out on the 6th. She flew to Alberta for work. It just happened to be Edmonton, so she happens to get in a bonus visit with Savvy Mom, which is just great. So she was scheduled to fly in the afternoon of the 6th from LaGuardia Airport to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and then from that to Edmonton. Sorry, hard to remember because things kept changing. She was supposed to fly out mid 4 p.m., between 4 and 5. I was a little put out because it would have been fun cavorting at the airport, but I was going in the morning from JFK. All right. So the night before, Deborah packed her travel knitting. She is working on a hat made out of Madeline Tosh. I pay attention. She's worried that this hat is going to be too small, and so she was debating pulling it out, but she didn't pull it out, at least. Oh, it's Deborah. She'll probably pull it out eventually. But anyway, the last I saw of her and the hat, it had not been pulled out. Meanwhile, I had promised somebody a hat made out of cashmere. Is that the goat? Yes. I had promised someone a hat made out of cashmere, a slouchy cashmere hat, and... I have not knit it. Deborah bought some cashmere for a sweater, and I had planned to steal slash borrow enough for this hat. She bought these two giant cones. And then I went to do it the night before our travel day, and it was just so thin. And I wanted to knit on my size 8 needles, because I have Addi Turbo needles size 8. I think I've got size 4 or 3 and size 8. And a pair of Deborah's that are size 6 that are not Addi Turbos. They are the needles from Knit Picks that she is never going... Oh, right, she doesn't listen when she's not on it. She's never getting them back. Who are we kidding? Anyway, it was really thin, and it just... A giant cone. I didn't want to wind it off because it seemed hard. So Deborah offered a giant skein of alpaca yarn. It wasn't the original. I think the original color was brown. This alpaca yarn was dark gray. And it looked somewhat the same. And Deborah showed me a sweater she had knit out of it. And I think she had knit a shawl out of it too. And it's this giant skein. I think she bought it in Chile, I think. So she offered to let me use it, and I actually did wind some of that off after she had gone to bed. And I tried to cast on. She made me use size 5, I think, needles. So poor Deborah lost another pair of needles to her sister. However, she got those back because I cast on. It wasn't springy enough. It would have taken for... I wanted to use size 8 needles, so... It is Malabrigo March. I found a skein of Malabrigo that I had already wound into a ball that I had cast on size 10 needles. I guess Deborah doesn't have those either. I have those. I hope she doesn't need those. They're in my bathroom. But the point is, I had cast on a hat for a guy in size 10 needles. And looking at it, I thought, A, the colors weren't quite right for a guy. It's this autumnal shade of browns and such. However, there are also bits of yellow in it. And I don't know the colorway because we bought it from the factory in Uruguay. So I decided to make this person a hat out of this. I'm saying this person only because there's the off chance she'll listen to the... Oh, who are we kidding? It's my aunt. I love her. She's my aunt in the UK. She asked for this hat in October, and I meant to make it, and I didn't. Knitting lies. I'm drowning in knitting lies. The point is, I am knitting her a completely different hat out of Malabrigo because it's Malabrigo March. Yeah. Anyway, so I cast on that on my size 8 Addi Turbo needles, and I was ready to go. Back to the interesting part, non-knitting. The night before my trip, I received a text message because this was the day the plane slid off the runway and the day before, and there was all this snow, but it was actually gorgeous, gorgeous snowy day. And I thought, good, we're leaving the next day. It'll all be solved. Yeah, it wasn't all solved. I received a note the night before saying that my flight had been canceled and I was being rerouted out of New York, JFK, to Baltimore, Maryland, to Minnesota, and then to Winnipeg. Now, there's maybe probably two flights a day to Winnipeg from Minneapolis, I would guess. Baltimore, Minneapolis? Well, it is the Delta hub, Minneapolis, so probably 4 flights out of Baltimore. And they were canceling flights here, and planes weren't getting in there, and I thought, wow, that leaves a lot of margin for error. And I sort of left my driver's license. I lost it in New Orleans. I might have left it on the counter where I was staying. I honestly don't know. It's gone. No driver's license at this moment. So I can't just hop a car. Also, Winnipeg, there's no way I could drive there. However, it's always good to be able to hop a car and start driving. And I needed to get to Winnipeg by 1 p.m. the day after I had planned to arrive to catch a plane up north to Thompson. Anyway, now that you're all confused and switching away to our rival podcasters, I managed to call several times, no dice the night before, but I got up really early the day of. They rerouted me through Toronto, but from LaGuardia this time, because at least from Toronto, there's about a million flights to Winnipeg, probably 7 whole flights a day, and at least that was only 2 flights and not 3. Long story short, Deborah and I both ended up sitting at LaGuardia for several hours, cavorting together between Terminal C and Terminal D. So no JFK, which made it easier, and a sister for fun. It was actually really cool. We saw each other the night before, did our teary slash joyful goodbyes, and then met up in the airport. Now, Deborah caught her flight. It was delayed an hour and a half or so. She caught it to Minneapolis. She made her next flight to Edmonton with about 3-4 minutes to spare. Officially, she missed the flight because I had booked it for her and I received a notice saying she would be going out the next morning. But by the next morning, she was already at IKEA with Savvy Mom, buying desks and tables and things. So everything worked out for her. However, I did miss my connecting flight to Winnipeg, which was supposed to leave at 6:30 p.m. at this point. So already no seeing Savvy Boobs, because she's in bed by then. No meeting with my agent, but I thought, oh good, I can still meet my friend. No, because I missed that flight, and the next flight left at 10:30, but it was delayed till past midnight. Long story short, got in Winnipeg at almost 3 a.m. There was a giant power outage throughout a large section of the city. I felt very welcome, fell into bed, rolled out of bed the next morning, back to the airport for a tiny Calm Air, that's the name of the company, flight up to Thompson, Manitoba. Aren't you glad you're still listening? So I went up to Thompson. I was hired to sing 4 concerts at... Well, I'll tell you about it. So I went up to Thompson, and I was supposed to be met by someone from Nelson House Reserve. It's one of the First Nations reserves up there. There are several, and I believe that's one of the biggest. Now, I had never been on a First Nation, which is the Canadian politically correct way of saying Native American, or Aboriginal, also in Canada. I had never been on a reserve before, and I was really excited to go and experience it and perform my Opera Mouse show for the kids there and have a wonderful, rich experience for all of us, I suppose. And I was supposed to be picked up at the airport and driven the half an hour to Nelson House, but nobody came. And I waited 3 hours at the airport, and the airport in Thompson is a shack. And I'm not, it's, all it is a shack. It is the largest airport in northern Manitoba, and it's a shack. With a donut store, I guess. There's a little eatery, but not once when I was there was it actually open. And it was a bit of a confusing shack, because in the bathrooms there were these giant signs on the bathroom stall saying, "The airport is not responsible for the content of the graffiti written here." So you wonder, what? What were people writing? But anyway, I waited 3 hours. My ride didn't show up. Finally, my agent, who got me the gig, suggested that I just go to my hotel because the city of Thompson, Manitoba, put me up in a hotel. So I caught a cab, went into town, went to the hotel, checked in, dumped my bags, walked over to where I was doing the concerts the next day. They were having a giant bonfire and fireworks, and I was admiring the fireworks, which had just started, and warming myself at the giant bonfire, when I received a phone call saying, "Hey, the show's about to start in Nelson House. Where are you?" Now, meanwhile, I had been calling. I had been trying to reach my contact in Nelson House. My agent had been trying to reach my contact in Nelson House, and I even found someone in Thompson just by basically telling the story to everyone, seeing if anyone knew anyone, because it's not that big up there. And someone knew the chief's brother, and he called the chief's brother and left a message. And we were doing everything we could do, but there was a miscommunication, and the kids were all waiting at 7. And at 7:10, I received the phone call saying, "The kids are ready. Where are you?" And I needed to get out there. It is not as easy as you would think to find a cab who is willing to drive on unlit gravel roads in the blowing snow at night from Thompson. But luckily, there was a local lady who negotiated with the cab company and found someone who would be willing to do that. So off we went, speeding crazy speeds down these gravel roads out to Nelson House. It did not take half an hour. It took more like an hour, and we were going unsafely fast. I kept having to tell him to slow down. But we got there. The kids were still in the school gym. They had gotten snacks and they were playing and getting really hyper, but still, they were a great audience. I did the show for them. They were participating, which is always wonderful. By then it was about 9:30, and the kids were great. It was a wonderful, wonderful show, and I felt very rewarded for having done it. And then after the show, I got a ride back and I slept in this hotel, which, although it was probably the nicest hotel in Thompson, and I appreciate the city for putting me up there, there were these, I guess it's guys who are working in the north, but basically it was as if I was living in a dorm because the rooms were fine, if 1970s style-y. But in the halls, all these guys are having frat parties with their beers, and I would walk down the hall and the guys are like, come on out and party! I thought, Melanie wants to go to bed. So I went to bed. Oh, but meanwhile, I had spent the whole flight up knitting on my hat, and I was done the ribbing. Ha, knitting content. And I started expanding, and I didn't know how many stitches to expand. I started with 80. I think I have 99 now. And that is my knitting content. So the next day, I was hired to perform my show Opera Mouse at Hometown Hockey Tour. It is a Canadian hockey tour where they take the Stanley Cup and a bunch of NFL players, and Ron McLean, the Hockey Night in Canada announcer, goes to a bunch of different cities or smaller towns and larger towns and cities, and I just said cities, I'm really tired, around Canada, and there are hockey events and gear for the kids, free gear and food, and just it's just a big community thing around hockey, which is ironic because in St. Albert, where we grew up, we were pretty much the only family that was not involved in hockey. I mean, it was never even an option. There was no hockey in our lives. I mean, Savvy Dad would watch Hockey Night in Canada, but aside from that, nothing, nothing at all. However, I flew up on the plane with Ron McLean, the announcer, and I got my photo with him. For the record, I didn't recognize him. Other people recognized him, so I got my photo with him. And I, as I said, I was performing at this event. So in one afternoon, I did three performances of a hockey-themed Opera Mouse. I added all sorts of hockey content to the show, and there were kids of all ages. And you know what? They loved it. I was thrilled. I wasn't sure at first, just because hockey event, introduction to opera for children with puppets, you know? It's as if you went to a knitting fair and gave high jump lessons. But you know, some of those knitters, they like to jump. So it was the same thing, you know? And so it went really, really, really well. That was the next day, and then yesterday, and as soon as the concerts were done, I got to the airport, I caught a flight back down to Winnipeg, got there pretty late, woke up early, 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 early this morning, full makeup, by that I mean, I don't even remember, some makeup. I was not maybe on my game, I was not on the ball for all the answers for this 3-minute interview, but It was fun. I posted it on Facebook and we'll post it on the page. And considering I basically haven't slept in 4 days, it went really well. Then I caught a cab, hauled my mouse puppet and my butt to the airport. We made the flight with 6 minutes to spare before the flight closed. Made the flight, flew to Montreal, stopped over in Montreal, changed to a tiny plane and got back to New York Monday afternoon, and we had left Friday afternoon, and that was my weekend, and I got some knitting done on the plane, and now I'm here.
A country dance was being held in a garden. I felt a bump, and then an oh, beg your pardon. Suddenly I saw polka dots and moonbeams wrapped around a pug-nosed dream.
I had a knitting adventure yesterday. Yes, ring that bell. Yes, it was knitting-related adventure, and I had it. Melanie, I, Savvy Girl Melanie, had that adventure. And that adventure was a trip out to speak to the Long Island Knitting Guild. Now, this has been coming up for a while, for a couple of months now, but things have been so crazy, and I hadn't mentioned it on the podcast, but it happened. It was really fun, and there was a lot of knitting. Ring that bell. So yesterday I caught the train out of the city, the Long Island Railroad from Penn Station, and I rode it out to Long Island it was supposed to be a 45-minute ride, but right before we left Penn Station, the train went from a direct train, an express train, to a local train. They shoved a whole bunch of other people on it, so essentially it became two train loads, and instead of taking 40 minutes, it took an hour and 20 minutes. Yes, should have brought a book. The point is, I rode out to Merrick, New York. I was picked up at the station by one of the lovely guild members and taken to the Merrick Golf and Country Club. And you know, I've been to a lot of knitting guild meetings, and this one was fun. There was good food, cookies, there were cookies, and the show and tell with good-natured heckling was, it wasn't even really heckling, just the banter surrounding the show and tell was probably the cleverest show and tell banter I have ever heard. There were a lot of listeners there, and I met a lot of knitters, and I even did a few interviews for the podcast. Now, I had been so focused on getting ready for the speech, because I hadn't done it since October, and I had integrated a bunch of slides so it could be a speech with a slideshow. I hadn't thought, I am not a technological person, and I had not thought past the getting the slides off the computer onto the screen issue. I think I need to buy a projector. So there goes Melanie's retirement fund that I actually do not have. I think I need a projector. I could use a projector at some point, or some kind of projecting like apparatus. But the point is, I went there, I watched the show and tell, and I did some interviews for the podcast. Now, it was a very busy country club. So there was the knitting group on the main floor, and then there was Zumba on the second floor, which later I think gave way to other aerobics. And there was nowhere quiet to do the interview. And when I have this podcast machine, you know, I can direct the sound pretty specifically. However, I did not have this. I had my phone, which does a crap job, but it does record, and now and then it saves me when I need to record something, and I needed to find somewhere quiet. So my first thought was, as I'm sure all of us would have as our first thought, was the bathroom. I dragged my first interviewee into the bathroom, and people were actually using the bathroom because, you know, gotta pee before you knit. Just gotta pee before you knit. So we did the next best thing, or probably the better thing, and we went next door into the guy's bathroom, which, by the way, is wonderful for interviews at a knitting group because there were only a couple guys there. So the room was mostly empty. The man on duty at the golf course itself was a little surprised when he came in to do his man business, and there were two ladies speaking into a phone about knitting. Surprise! However, he was a good sport, and yes, so the following three interviews that I'm about to play are from, as we repeat many times, from the men's washroom. Sound quality, not the best. It was done on my phone, but these were three very interesting people that I met. And they're members of the Long Island Knitting Guild. So if you are in Long Island or visiting New York even, you should go on out. You could get a cookie and do your show and tell. And one of the girls I interviewed, Finask on Ravelry, I think F-I-N-A-S-C, I think, on Ravelry, she actually offered to do my knitting for me. And I'm knitting this hat, right? So I passed it over to her, and while I did my speech, out of the corner of my eye, I watched the hat that I am supposed to be knitting for a relative, supposed to have knit months ago, grow bigger and bigger. She even did a bit of a pattern with pearls and things. Not real pearls like knitting, pearling, knitting. Anyway. So yeah, I highly recommend Long Island Knitting Guild. And I highly recommend me for other knitting guilds. I am happy to talk about knitting music anywhere. You know you want me. Come on, people. You know you want me. And yeah, here are the interviews.
The music started and was was I a perplexed one? I held my breath and said, may I have the next one? In my frightened arms, polka dots and moonbeams wrapped around a pug-nosed dream.
So this is Melanie, and I am here with...
Wendy.
Oh, hey, Wendy. What a great name.
Yeah.
And we are in the bathroom of the Golf and Country Club here in Long Island. There's nowhere else to do this interview.
Yeah, I know. You're not going to find a quiet place here.
So,
well, yeah.
Actually, the boys' bathroom. Let's go to the boys' bathroom. It'll be quiet. Come on, we're doing edgy. No one's going to come in. Great. It's a knitting group. I think we're good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're in the boys' bathroom of the Golf and Country Club here in Merrick. And tell me, what is it like to be a knitter here?
It's very interesting. I'm one of the youngest ones, but I mean, everybody helps each other. I've been in the group for over 10 years.
Wow. What made you start knitting?
Entertainment. Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. I knit, I spin. Oh, yeah.
What do you knit mostly?
Shawls. I just finished the Susan B. Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Yalta.
Okay.
Shawl. Oh, love it. Most of them I give away.
What?
Yeah.
To who?
Oh, friends.
So what is the worst knitting problem you have ever had?
Sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
Arms. Oh, you know, my pet peeve.
So what is it like being a knitter in Long Island? What is your life like here?
There's a lot of knitters in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Knitters, spinners,
wow.
Crocheters. Yeah.
They let them in.
Yeah.
It's a big island.
Yes, it is.
And is it a good community?
It is. It is very close, very close-knit community. I work in a hospital. We used to have a knitting group.
Oh, nice.
Yes, for the... sorry.
We were looking for...
I caught you with your hand in the cooking jar.
We're looking for a quiet place.
That's quite hard. I just came to wash my hands. You don't mind,
sure,
do you?
Pee quietly.
Yes.
So, we were just busted in the boys' washroom here. Have you ever been busted in the boys' washroom?
No.
No?
Just with you. First time.
Oh, no.
There were questions in the eyes of other dancers as we floated over the floor. There were questions, but my heart knew all the answers, and perhaps a few things more.
I am back in the men's washroom here at the Golf and Country Club, and who am I with?
My name is Lars Rains.
Hello, Lars.
How are you?
I am getting very comfortable in this male washroom.
That tends to happen, I think.
Right. So what do you do knitting? Who are you? What is your thing?
I'm fairly well known for promoting Lopi in the knitting community. I've been knitting for over 20 years. Started learning at a shop in Toronto called the Wool Mill.
Canadian?
Yes, I'm Canadian. And my first project was Lopi, and I just fell in love with the yarn, and so I've been knitting with it ever since.
And what do you like to knit? You had quite a few projects tonight.
I keep very busy. I always have a Lopi sweater on the needles, but I'm starting to do a lot more accessories. I get focused on one yarn, so I've been playing with a lot of Madeline Tosh ASAP, the bulky stuff.
That's what your cowlie thing was out of.
Yes. And so I've started also playing with the smaller yarns, doing some shawls and some lace work.
Do you dream about knitting ever?
I actually dream sometimes when I'm trying to figure out a design problem. When I wake up in the morning, for some reason, all the problems have been answered. So I must be dreaming about it.
Knitting elves. So what is the sexiest part about knitting? Or the sexiest yarn?
Ooh, the sexiest yarn.
Yeah.
I did a sweater called Rothko, inspired by the artist.
Keep talking.
Out of Neighborhood Fiber Company. She came out with this gorgeous yarn, Studio Chunky, and the colors were super saturated and it was just super soft.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So that's the sexiest thing. Was it for you?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Sometimes you just have to knit sexy things for yourself.
Well, it was hard because I'm a big guy, so it took a while. I did size it in a bunch of different sizes, but that's the problem when you're knitting as a guy. You want to really want to make it for yourself, and then think about other people. Now that I'm trying to break into women's wear, it's hard for me to knit something up that I know I'm not going to wear, but that's okay.
You mean for women?
Absolutely.
Yeah, those boobs get in the way.
I actually have a class on bust darts from Craftsy on my iPad that I have to get to, but yeah, they do get in the way.
And that's awkward if you're, you know, talking to someone. You say, I was just taking this craft on bust arts.
Yeah, I took a class at the Men's Knitting Retreat last year with Michael Ross. He's studied menswear at FIT, and he's working on a book on men's sweaters. And he actually went into belly darts for us. So for some of the larger guys, we were like, oh, that's how you solve that problem.
I've never thought about that, belly darts.
Yeah, they look like giant hexagons at the front of your sweater.
More beer, more darts.
Absolutely.
So you are a music guy.
I am. I actually moved to New York for my doctorate in music theory. Ran out of money and decided that I didn't want to teach music theory, but I've always loved music.
And you were a bassoonist.
I wasn't a bassoonist. Don't tell me.
I won't. Did you play in the Hall of the Mountain King?
Actually, yes, I did. That was my first year playing in an orchestra. Yes, I did play that.
Wow. And you've survived. You've survived your life. Deborah, my sister, played bassoon for several years.
Yeah. No, I survived. I played in a couple orchestras up in Canada. I actually did a Vivaldi concerto on my own against the wishes of my instructor. But so I really enjoyed playing, but I sold my bassoon.
Oh, of course, you could live for 7 years off that.
Yeah, it was a heckle, so it was five figures. Now I just have a piano that I play around with at home.
Nice. And how do you relate the theory to your knitting, I guess? Last question.
I now teach special ed math in a high school in Queens. So the type of music theory I did was very mathematical-based, group theory and set theory. So now when I choose colors or stitch patterns, I love symmetry. I apply combinatorial tetrachordality, rotational arrays like in late Stravinsky. I really like minimalist music, so Morton Feldman, his influences, Stephen Reich.
Cool. And if you had to suggest one song of these songs that you are so well versed, which would you recommend for knitters to listen to, or crocheters? We like them too.
My favorite song is Errol Koenig by Schubert, just because it's got three different characters. And just like some of the knitting songs that you talked about tonight, there's the repeated piano. I actually sang it. I actually sang it in second year at Western, and my friend said, oh, I'll accompany you on piano, but he didn't really...
He didn't look at it?
No, he didn't look at it first, so he kind of wanted to kill me at the end. But it's a fabulous song to knit by, because you're going to be knitting and knitting and knitting in rhythm.
And you wouldn't be the only one dead at the end if you know the song, unfortunately. Well, thank you so much, and this was great. Have a lovely trip back to your knitting den. So here we are back in the men's washroom for the third time tonight. And who am I with?
Anjanette.
On Ravelry?
Oh, it's really initials, but people say Finesse, but it's F-I-N.
Oh, that's who you are.
Yeah.
Hello. So why are we here in the men's washroom together?
I guess this is the best place. It's quiet and...
We're here to talk about you and knitting. You're an expert knitter because I just said so. And,
okay.
Yeah. And you worked on my hat today, so thank you.
I did. I wasn't sure if you were really truthful about not really liking to knit, so I decided to help you out a little bit.
I can't wait to see how much further it's gone.
About 2 inches.
Wow. And women don't lie about that kind of thing.
No.
So 2 inches is not really just going to be like half an inch. It's actually 2 inches.
Yeah.
Nice. So as an expert knitter in Long Island.
I'm not an expert.
As an expert knitter who is very modest in Long Island, what do you recommend for knitters to something about knitting? I don't care. I need some knitting content.
Knitting content.
Just say something about knitting. What yarn do you like?
Oh, there's plenty of different yarns. I love all types. I love Walmines. I love Malabrigo. I love Metalintage. I love to support artisans on Etsy. There's too many.
What's your favorite yarn color?
Orange. I love orange.
A dark orange?
Any kind of orange, rust, fall colors. I love every color under the sun except for pink. I don't care for pink. I don't care for bubblegum pink, Pepto pink. That's
Pepto pink. No.
No. I don't like any pink. I prefer not to work with pink.
So what did a nice young lady such as yourself pick up knitting for? What made you get just like the first skein is free and then after that? That's actually how stores should do it.
Actually, I was working at a craft store with one of the women who spoke at the meeting. Mm-hmm. And I used to do jewelry. And at the store, if you are an instructor, you're allowed to sit in other classes. So I sat in the knitting class and I sat in some other classes. And from there, you know, the guild, she talked about the guild. Mm-hmm. And I joined the guild and I've been part of the guild. I've been part of the board since I joined, just to help out. So.
And have you ever licked a sheep? Have you ever licked a sheep? Sheep?
No, I never licked a sheep. Pets, llamas and alpacas, you know, going to Rhinebeck. And...
Are you going to Maryland this year?
Yes.
What would it take to lick a sheep this year? Because I will do it. If you're going to lick a sheep, I will lick a sheep.
Lick a sheep?
Not like all of it, just not the bottom. Just like on his face a little bit, I guess.
Well, if you lick a sheep, I could consider it. You going to Maryland?
Yeah, I'm going to Maryland, especially now that we have this sheep licking competition going on.
I don't know. That's kind of rough.
I know it is, but I don't think you could get away with not doing it now that this is brought up.
If you lick the sheep, I could lick a sheep.
Because Deborah kissed an alpaca on the lips, and I just feel, what's the next step? It's licking a sheep.
That's sweet.
It was very romantic. It warmed my cockles. Heart. It warmed my heart. I don't know. I just feel maybe this is the year for sheep licking because I got nothing else to talk about knitting.
You're too much.
So
okay, we'll do something with the sheep.
Okay. Something. But not that.
Lick.
Pat is a good start.
Lick, kiss.
Okay, if you kiss a sheep, that's good. That's okay too. Not the bottom.
No, I don't know. Maybe you have one.
They have those freaky eyes. Nose. Is it a sheep with the little square?
The teeth and everything. I don't know.
Like on the top of their nose. First base.
Too woolly.
It is kind of woolly.
And
yeah,
you know, they're all in it. It depends on what kind of day it is. What if it's muddy?
We've all been on bad days. It's not going to be worse than that. So as a regular at these events, this is a real question. What do you recommend to people who have never gone and would like to go to Rhinebeck or Maryland?
Oh.
Should they just do it? I mean, should they plan a whole trip?
They should definitely do it. I would say it's very overwhelming if you've never gone. Mm-hmm. Be prepared to, I would say, don't use your credit cards, you know, prepare to have some type of budget. If you like some places, I would get their cards so you can visit them next
time. That's smart.
Or online. And then, you know, just walk around first, see what's out there. And then the ones that you like the most, go back to.
Right.
But if there's a color or something that you like the feel, you can go get it. But they can be very overwhelming.
All right. So bring someone to carry your things.
Yes, definitely. My husband went the first
time. Oh, see, that's perfect.
Yeah, and he had a good time at Rhinebeck. And he would take my stuff, go to the car, and, you know, free me up. But definitely, it's overwhelming. Rhinebeck is big.
Rhinebeck is big.
Yeah. But
what about food-wise? What's your food recommendation for Rhinebeck?
There's a place, I forget the name of it. He has paninis. And I go to the same spot all the time. They have great...
So it's at least semi-healthy.
Yeah.
It's not all the artichokes and...
No, you can do that too.
The line's
fried pickles.
Too long.
I used to love the fried pickles, but I haven't seen them in a while.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maryland will probably have more fried food because we're heading south at that point.
Have you tried the potato?
No.
The fried potato?
No, I usually just see nachos
gosh,
and then...
They have it fresh and they curl it and they fry it and they put
whatever you want. Oh, I've seen that.
Oh my gosh, it's huge.
So go to Rhinebeck and eat a fried potato on a stick. Just do it.
No, at Maryland.
Go to Maryland and eat a potato on a stick and don't lick a sheep, but maybe actually lick a sheep. That's it. Well, thank you for this fascinating and wonderful, I'm so tired, this good interview. And now, who needs Deborah? We got a podcast. It's time to bring back a word, because I haven't brought back a word for a while, and I was reading a new book yesterday. Actually, what happened is I was waiting at the station in Long Island for the train back to New York, and they had a free cart from the library. Well, the cart wasn't free. The cart contained books that were free. And I was looking through them thinking, you know, I wish I had brought War and Peace. I need something to read because it's an hour ride back and my phone's almost out of batteries. What to do, and I found this book about the search for the Northwest Passage. And I'm going to talk about this more, hopefully, on the next episode, because I will have read more of this book. However, on page 7, which was still part of the introduction, I found a word that I did not know. And, you know, when I read a book, I usually know most of the words. My vocabulary is pretty extensive. However, there was a word, although I immediately gleaned the meaning, I had not heard it or read it before now. And that word is pestiferous. I think it's pretty obvious what pestiferous means. It can be used in two terms. The first, I mean, it really means harboring infection and disease. So you can say an area is pestiferous, such as when I am on tour in the summer, and I drive through Saskatchewan, it is pestiferous with mosquitoes. Although that, I mean, pestiferous, I guess you could have other pests. So yes, I should define that yes, it is not pestiferous in general, it is pestiferous with mosquitoes. So much so that when one stops one's car in a field, they gather on the car and block out the sun. They don't block out the sun. But still, that is pestiferous and melodrama. However, the definition I like better of the word pestiferous is constituting a pest or nuisance, such as that pestiferous yarn stash of Deborah's that threatens to engulf us all. So yes, pestiferous. I think it should be used all the time. I think people's challenge this week is to use the word pestiferous in some way, shape, or form, and not only sound smart, but also just sound, it's just so melodramatic. I mean, you could use the word annoying, those annoying mosquitoes. You know, there's pugnacious, that's a word. I think that's how you say that word. But pestiferous is so much better. So I am bringing back the word, and please use it, unless you're talking about me. Then just use the word charming, or beautiful, or smart.
Now in a cottage full of lilacs and laughter, I learned the meaning of the words ever after. And I'll only see polka dots and moonbeams. times when I kiss my dream.
There's time for one more segment on this podcast, and let's see. I had really, really wanted to basically rant about some of the dates I've gone on lately, because there have been a few, and oh man, people. However, the people I've dated, I have mentioned the podcast to several of these people, and there is a very real risk they would listen. And I don't want to be hurtful. Oh my gosh, it's tempting. However, no, no, no. Instead, I am going to talk about travel knitting. Yeah, no, no, knitting. I was in the shower. It's the next morning after I recorded the other parts of the podcast. And I really, really didn't know what to talk about. And then I thought, travel knitting. Maybe people need some hints. And goodness knows I am the person to give you hints about knitting. So I'm going to. All right. I made a list. We should be good here. So, it is spring, and after, well, okay, it's not technically spring. It should be spring soon. And after spring comes summer, and often in the late spring and summer, people tend to travel. And while they travel, often crazy knitters gotta knit. You know what they say? So crazy knitters gotta knit, and you need to bring your knitting. And so here are some tips about that knitting. Man, I need some coffee or tea or cookies. Anyway. All right, first tip when you are traveling with your knitting, wind your yarn before you go. I have been with Deborah in airports, on boats, on buses, and the need to wind her yarn has come up a lot. Yes, she has a lovely ball swift winder thing, but no, no, we have to do it on a bus, in an airport. Not only do you look like an idiot, I think, personally, I mean, not her, she's just winding. I look like an idiot because both my hands are up in the air with yarn all tangly around them. But it's a big old pain, and things do get tangled. And once they get tangled, you have a very frustrated sister, or yourself, I guess. And just wind your yarn before you go. It also takes up less room because it's more concentrated, I guess. I don't know. So that's the first thing. The second thing is print your pattern. Because you never know if your cell phone is going to work overseas. Roaming does tend to eat the battery a lot quicker. I've noticed that instead of having 2 days of battery life, I sometimes have 7-8 hours on my phone, and it's a good phone. So print your pattern, then you don't need to worry about your phone shutting off or lack of connection or anything like that. Just print it out, then you've got it. It's one fewer thing that can go wrong. The next thing is don't, please, oh please, please, if you do nothing else, do not bring too much stuff, knitting paraphernalia stuff with you. Oh, Deborah, I have seen you pack a few knitting things for a trip. And it is basically, she basically packs everything she owns. Well, no, that would be the entire apartment of yarn. But she packs pretty much everything. You're going on a trip, unless you were on a boat or something, a banana boat in the middle of the ocean alone, you'll be okay. If you need to buy more yarn, there are always stores. Okay, granted, it's not always good yarn, but there are always places that sell some yarn if you need it. So bring a ball skein and bring ball it up and bring a second one, I guess. But you do not need to bring all the yarns because hopefully you'll be touring and looking at things and touching things or people, and you won't have time to do all that knitting. But okay, fine. Okay, maybe pack an extra ball of skein of yarn. That's fine. But don't bring everything. You don't need your giant pair of scissors and your funny cartoons. Deborah doesn't pack this stuff. I'm just trying to think of what people would pack. She just pretty much packs everything. So don't pack everything. You don't need it. Just pack what you need. That said, do bring a needle, a little darning needle, because I've been stuck without one. Deborah's been stuck without one. It is possible to make a makeshift needle out of several things. Sometimes I feel like I'm in prison. You just got to be really... I've just watched Orange is the New Black. So you got to be creative. I have made a darning needle with twisting yarn and sticking it in a bobby pin. That works. What else have I used? I may even use twisted paper. That one's a little harder. But yeah, there are ways to, quote, make a darning needle. But just bring a plastic one. They're really cheap. Just stick it somewhere. Bobby pin does work actually extremely well, I gotta say. And also, if you need a cable needle, bobby pin also works. It's a little finicky with the one end open and one end closed, but it works. I guess also bring a cable needle if you're doing cables, or bring... I've used a straw, I've used a pencil, I've used a pen, I've used twisty paper. You can pretty much use anything as a darning needle. No, not darning needle, cable needle. But sometimes it would be kind of handy to actually have one. So do bring your cable needle, I guess. I don't even own one. If you own one, bring your cable needle. Bring your darning needle, but do not bring everything else. Another thing you should maybe bring, if you really need those size 8.25 or whatever knitting sticks, and if they're straight, that's not a problem. But if there's a certain pair such as Addy Turbo or something that you love are circular needles, pack them, because I found that circular needles in odd sizes are not often available, depending on where you go, again, but that is not always available overseas. And there's the chance that someone will take them away. I don't mean you'll be mugged on the corner for your needles. I mean more like with an airline, there's always a chance they'll confiscate them, especially in South America. You'll probably be okay in Europe. You'll definitely be okay in North America. If they try to take them away in North America, you have a valid argument. It is not on their list of unapproved items. And most of Europe, I think, is the same way. But you never know. And so if you really, really need that odd-sized pair of knitting sticks, maybe just bring it. Or just leave your whole knitting at home. This is another option. Just don't knit on your trip. You know, that's okay too. Yeah. What else do I have? Wine before you go. I did that. Oh, know a few words in the local language about knitting or stricken or tricot or whatever. Because people are going to talk to you. Knitters got to talk. Knitters got to knit. When they see you knitting, they will talk to you or about you. And it's just kind of nice to be able to, if they ask, what are you doing? Or look at you inquisitively, it would be nice to be able to say, "Ich stricken, I am knitting, stricke, whatever it is. I don't have to know, not a knitter." So learn a few words, it'll help in a knitting store, but it also just kind of makes it fun. I got two more things. The first one is bring a good knitting bag, because if you're walking around, say, Pompeii, which is on a mountain without shelter, because it is the ruins of a city and there is no shelter, and it starts to rain, as it does, you don't want everything to get completely soaked. So I'm not saying bring some big old waterproof monstrosity, but bring a knitting bag that offers a little bit of protection. You'll thank me. Your knitting will thank me. Oh, also, here's another one. Don't pack anything too huge, because, you know, I'm sure you got to knit that sweater, but maybe you could just knit a hat on your trip. Because you don't want to cart that sweater around. And if it's something really complicated, you're just going to be counting the whole time. And this is your vacation. This is your adventure. You paid to be here. You want to be here. Count those armhole reductions or whatever at home. Just knit on your hat. Knit your hat. Or your mittens. I guess you never know. It'll be winter soon. Or your mittens. Now, the last tip I have is actually a really good tip. This tip is, be aware that when you are walking around with knitting, you are keeping generally both hands on your knitting, which means that you have zero hands on your passport or computer or your money or your jewelry. So just be aware that, say, if I were looking to rob somebody, despite the fact that you're holding those pointy sticks, I would say, whoa, look at Joe Knitter over there. I am so taking her Swarovski / passport / ice cream cone or whatever you might have in your bag. So be aware, be extra aware of your surroundings, which is hard because you're knitting. Be aware of where your valuables are. And
do be aware that you look distracted when you're knitting, and you are, there's a big old arrow pointing to you if someone's looking to rob you. Yes. Maybe not a huge arrow. I know, that's, you know what? There's a pretty big arrow. So look up now and then, and look up now and then anyway, because you're on freaking vacation. Oh, or take me and I'll tell you what you should look at. Anyway, those are my tips. I'm sure Deborah would have other tips, but hey, she's up in Canada knitting right now. Okay, that's it, everyone. Have a good day.
It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Knitting socks for little feet.
Just sitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song.
Let's knit one purl, two. What's a knitter gonna do with a gall?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Savvy Girls podcast. If you'd like to reach us, we are online, Savvy Girl Deborah on Ravelry, Savvy Girl Melanie, and Savvy Bro. So you can reach us on Ravelry. We are on Facebook under Savvy Girls podcast, and we have been posting a fair amount to that. Not always about knitting. Well, it depends who's posting, I guess. Also, we are on Twitter, Savvy Girls PCast. We are, for some reason, my phone will not let me sign into Twitter. So I have not been Twittering very much lately, but I will be soon, soon. And of course, you can email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. You could always reach us there. Don't forget to sign up for the Savvy Girl Pen Pal Initiative. I'm going to wait another week or so and then start assigning people pen pals. It's not a contest. It's just, I love my pen pal. I think everyone should have such joy. Anyway, next week is another Savvy Tidbit, and the week after, Deborah will be back, and she will have lots, I assume, of knitting to talk about. In the meantime, tend to your knitting, kitten.
Look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.